Hear then God's holy word, Acts 20, 1 through 12. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. When he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men, going ahead, waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. So far, the word of God. Congregation, the word of God comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 20, the verses 7 through 12. The verses 7 through 12, and perhaps we can just read them again. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, most of us have no doubt at one time or another attended a different church service other than your own. Sometimes happens that way that you have no other choice. It's possible that you would be traveling or that you're on vacation and that you cannot possibly attend your own church. But when you attend one of another denomination, or when you attend a church of another denomination, and as it can happen, you're not used to the liturgy, you're not used to how they go about it, and it becomes rather difficult to see what's going on. And it might then also be that you come up with some surprises as well. Some of them even somewhat strange and unusual, if not disturbing surprises. We had it at one time, my wife and I and the children, when we were on vacation, that we went to a church service in a church that we didn't know very much about it. And as we sat under the preaching, I was quite delighted to hear that the message was very biblical and that it was Christ-centered. And this old and retired preacher, he did what he could to convey the message in a very clear way. And the theme was the amazing grace of God. But as we came to the end of the service, or close to the end of the service, we heard the distinct sound outside, rather far away, of a bagpipe playing. And it came closer and closer, and it was a hot day, like to this. The church was not air-conditioned, so the doors were wide open, and sure enough, here was this bagpipe player. He came through the door, walked right down the center aisle, and stopped right in front of the preacher, who by that time could not be heard anymore because of the noise of this bagpipe. And guess what? He was playing Amazing Grace. Well, this was, of course, something that was staged by this particular minister. As I said already, when we do go to a different church service other than your own, you could indeed meet up with some strange and unusual, if not disturbing, things. This hour, I would like to take you to a particular church service where we will also meet up with some strange and, yes, indeed, a very disturbing thing. It is a church service in the city of Troas, on the east, or rather on the coast of Asia Minor. And the preacher was not some old retired man, but it was the Apostle Paul himself. And there were no stage surprises whatsoever. But nevertheless, something very disturbing did happen. And so let us consider the matter by way of the following theme: a disturbed church service at Troas. In the first place, intense. In the second place, unsettling. And in the third place, comforting. Now, congregation, the Apostle Paul here is returning to Jerusalem from his third missionary journey in Macedonia. It has been heavy going for him, as we can read already in verse 1. It has been heavy going for him in Macedonia, because there had been an uproar in the city of Ephesus. But the Apostle Paul was finally able to travel to the Macedonian coast, reserve a seat on a merchant ship at Philippi, cross the Aegean Sea, and so land at Troas. But then we read here in our text in Acts 20 and verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And here is one of the recorded instances in the New Testament, therefore, of a Sunday worship. If someone would ever ask you why we have our Sabbaths on Sunday and not on Saturday, then you could possibly turn already and point to this particular text. The Apostle Paul and the early Christians were accustomed, you see, to worship on the first day of the week, that is, on Sunday, that is, on the day when Christ has risen from the dead. And notice also that it says that they came together. They met together as congregation and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it also says that they came together in order to break bread, which means that most likely they came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they celebrated the Lord's Supper each Sunday because, living in that day under heavy persecution, they never knew if there would be another Sunday ahead of them, and so they did want to share their last Sunday together, possibly in the breaking of bread. But really, the church services were not about the celebration of the Lord's Supper mainly, but really about the preaching of the word of the gospel. And this is what the Apostle Paul was also engaged in at this time, because we read that Paul preached to them. But the preaching of the Apostle Paul is very intense, because we also read that of his preaching that he continued his speech until midnight. In other words, the Apostle Paul preached all day, and he preached all evening, and he preached right up until midnight. Now, some people, I know, some people have difficulty with two church services already on a Sunday, or if the worship service becomes much longer than an hour. And in certain cases, I can understand it, especially if you have little ones with you, or as if you have a baby in the household, or if a child is sick and has kept you from getting enough sleep, and then it becomes difficult to attend church services regularly. But these Christians here at Troas were in church all day long, even past midnight, and the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Paul, continued to preach until midnight. And this is not so unusual, you see, because in those days, most of the Sundays were indeed spent in church under the Word of God. After all, the Sundays are meant to be the Lord's days, aren't they? The days in which we may rest from our daily labors, during which, as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us, we ought to diligently attend the Church of God, to hear the Word, to use the sacraments, and to call publicly upon the name of the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. That is what we are called to do on the Lord's days. Now, dear people, I trust that this is all very familiar to you, and after all, you would say, well, Pastor Bertram, this is why I'm in church this afternoon. Good for you. It's so good to see all of you here this afternoon. And I would encourage you to be regular in your church attendance and be at every service if at all possible. Don't dig out excuses in order to stay away. And I can assure you also that no minister of the Free Reformed Churches will engage you all day and all evening and all night till midnight in any of the church worship services. But nevertheless, when you are called by the elders to come and worship, do so. Do your utmost to be at church for the preaching and for the teaching ministry of the Word of God, because it is through the Word, you see, that God is pleased to speak to you and to me. Slackness in church attendance goes against what the Bible teaches and what the Bible prescribes, because it says, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to stir unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see today approaching." In other words, be regularly at church. Now, in Troas, this was indeed true. The people were there for the full day's worship service, even past midnight. But in all fairness, I must say that this church service at Troas is still quite special. The Apostle Paul has come to preach, and he has come to teach, and the following day he would have to be on his way again. He was on his way to Jerusalem. In other words, we could call this a farewell service of the Apostle Paul. And so, you can understand that the church service itself was pretty intense already. The Apostle wanted to explain as much of the Bible as he could to these believers. Many of them were new believers, having just freshly come out of the world. He wants to deliver as much of the gospel to them as he could to this Gentile congregation, because he is quite sure that he will never see them again in the flesh. He wants to impart, therefore, everything of Jesus Christ that he can, because he knows by experience that knowledge of Jesus Christ alone can keep them steady and steadfast in the face of growing opposition and in the face of that persecution that was there then already. And so he preaches, and so he teaches all day, Sunday, even till midnight. Matthew Henry says, we know some that would have reproached Paul for this as a long-winded preacher that tired his hearers, but they were willing to hear. He saw them so, and therefore continued his speech. He continued till midnight. But not only is this church service intense for its length, it is, as we must also see in the second place, it is unsettling. You see, something happens during that worship service that would no doubt be a preacher's nightmare. Someone dies during the worship service. Now, I've personally had it twice that I thought that this would also happen. Someone had a heart attack, happened many years ago in Mitchell, and it also happened one time in London as well. But that is nothing yet to what happened that day, that evening in Troas. A young man by the name of Eutychus, and by the way, you know what his name means? Fortunate. Eutychus, fortunate. This young man, Eutychus, falls asleep. And he rolls from the window, three stories down, to his death. Now, there are certain mitigating circumstances that contributed to this unfortunate, unsettling state of affairs. Now, let me show you for a moment. This was a young man, so we are told. And the word used here points to a man who is in the strength of his working years. He probably worked hard all week, and there came a point that he was overtaken by sleep. Now, sleeping in church is not a very respectful thing to do. Sometimes it cannot be helped, but you need to do your best to fight against sleeping in church. If necessary, then go to sleep earlier on Saturday evening or take a nap between church services. That might not be too easy if the church service is at 2 o'clock, but nevertheless, try to do this if you can. But do all you can to remain alert and awake during the worship service when the gospel is preached. Because not only is it unpleasant for the preacher to have someone sleeping in the congregation, but far worse, this is very disrespectful, and it is a dishonor to God and to His holy word as it is being delivered. I've also at times seen people who knew themselves to be in the habit of falling asleep in church, who actually set themselves in that position already so that they would fall asleep. And that, of course, is not good. You can be sure that such a habit will not be blessed and could even become a curse in one's life. Another thing. In verse 8 of our text, we are told that since it had become evening, there were many lamps or many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. In other words, because of the approaching darkness, it was necessary to have many candles lit at that time, which no doubt heated up the place considerably. And when a church sanctuary becomes too warm, and the air becomes stale, which in turn makes people drowsy and sleepy. And we can be thankful, therefore, that we are in an air-conditioned church building this hour. Therefore, for good listening and for a good listening environment in church, we, especially those who are engaged in considering a new church building, must be careful to watch for those kind of things as well. With all the modern conveniences that we have, We must ensure that there is always abundant fresh air in the sanctuary and that it is never too warm. Now, in Troas, another thing that contributed to this unsettling event was the preacher's length of the sermon. But as I have explained already to you, this was a very special occasion for the Apostle Paul to be there. And if we could have had the Apostle Paul here this afternoon, I believe that no one of us would mind it at all if he would go on for several hours, even if he would go on until midnight. I am sure that you would want to hear what he would have to say to us. But as a general rule, preachers need also to be attentive to the length of the messages that they bring and only deliver as much as the people can bear to hear. This also goes for public prayers as well in the worship service. If they become too long and if they become too drawn out, they too will have the tendency to lull people to sleep. The interesting story about George Whitefield, which C.H. Spurgeon recounts in his letters, his lectures to his students, and that is about a man's public prayer. And George Whitefield said about him, "He prayed me in a good frame of mind, and if he had stopped there, it would have been well. But he prayed me out of it again by keeping on." At any rate, in the church service here at Troas, this young man, Eutychus, fell asleep because he no doubt had worked very hard the day before. The place was very warm and the air was very stale. The sermon was very long. And to make matters worse yet, he was sitting in a windowsill because I would imagine people, having heard that Paul would be preaching, people filled the sanctuary to more than capacity. At a certain point, having fallen asleep, he rolled out of the window and he fell 3 stories to the pavement below. Now, Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, as you know, was a physician. And he reports this unsettling consequence as a matter of fact in verse 9, "And he was taken up dead." A church service is a holy assembly. It engages you and me in sacred activity. And it is meant by the Holy Spirit to have wonderful spiritual influences upon us. But you can be sure that when this is happening, when the Holy Spirit is at work, the devil is always there as well, and he is eager to distract you and to unsettle you so that you will lose your concentration, so that it will rob you of the blessings which the Word preached is to give to you. And this distraction does not have to be as dramatic as someone falling dead under the preaching. The evil one has a variety of ways in order to unsettle you. He does not want you to be influenced by the preaching, you see. And so he will try to distract you. Perhaps by the things that are happening outside. Or he will distract you or try to distract you by a person, some other person in church. What he or what she is doing or what a child is doing. Dear people, resist that sort of distraction. Resist being drawn away from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Learn to listen well. Well, you say, no, that makes common sense. Let me just go on a little bit further. I read some articles not all that long ago about profitably listening to the preaching of the Word. And the author of these articles pointed out that there is indeed an art to profitable preaching, which a minister of the gospel needs to be very attentive to, but that there is also an art to profitable listening to the gospel as well. which people therefore need to exercise themselves in. According to him, there are then four aspects to profitable listening. And let me give them to you briefly. One, you must learn to listen with reverence. You see, it's not merely the word of man that you are hearing at this moment, but as the Christians in Thessalonica considered the preaching of the gospel, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. It's the word of God that comes to us, to you and to me, this hour. Two, you must learn to listen prayerfully. Without prayer for God's illumination on His Word, your mind natural capacities are unable to grasp these spiritual things, as it says, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 3. You must learn to listen with longing. You see, the Spirit who filled the poet of Psalm 42 should not be absent from you, even as he says, as the hart, the deer, as it pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, there is longing for hearing the Word of God. Therefore, learn to listen with longing and with desire to hear that Word of God from the preaching and from the Bible. 4. You must learn to listen critically. This does not mean that you need to come out of church every time and have some criticism on the sermon. No. Listening critically means to be able to speak about it with others and also be able to study about what you have heard with others. Learn to listen critically. And this, of course, must be done in a positive way, not passively, but actively. Even as the Bereans, you can read of them in Acts 17, verse 11, even as the Bereans were known for this, as you can read when it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether they be so. In other words, these Bereans, they took the gospel, the sermon, home with them, and they studied the matter more carefully with the Bible open and with their loved ones around the table. They discussed the sermon in a positive way and asked, "Son, what did you get out of the sermon? And what sort of blessing did you get, my child?" And then the author of these articles points out as well that it is to be recommended, in order that you can positively and actively listen critically, you might very well want to take some notes during the preaching. And he gives them the example of the Puritans of the 16th and the 17th century of England and also of North America, who were known for their sermon note-taking. And you may know that many of the sermons are still available for our reading today because of the many people who took sermon notes. Well then, when you have learned to listen reverently, prayerfully, longingly, and critically, and that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will discover that the evil one will actually have a hard time distracting you or unsettling you, and that nothing short of someone falling dead from a window will keep you from listening to the gospel. The church service at Troas was no doubt a very spiritual worship service, with the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching at great lengths, but the evil one was there and was able to create a spirit of distraction in that congregation and unsettle the listeners by having this one young man fall asleep and then falling to his death. Let us therefore always be in prayer for our worship services, even before we go to church, and I trust you have also done that this hour, that the evil one would not have opportunity to create amongst us a spirit of distraction or disruption and unsettle us in any sort of way. Let us pray that the sermon will also have its course with each one of us and give each one of us precisely what we need. And for our church services, we certainly do not need anything to unsettle us as what has happened in the church of Troas that particular night. But then for this church service in Troas, this is not the end of the story. The end of it is actually quite comforting, as I would like to draw your attention to this in the last place. No doubt, as you will understand, it created quite a commotion when this young man, Eutychus, fell 3 stories to his death. He was taken up dead, so we read in verse 9. But at the same time, this gave the Apostle Paul a marvelous opportunity to show to the congregation and actually to show to the world itself that he was an apostle sent by God to establish and to verify the very word of the gospel on earth. The Apostle Paul, you see, was actually given that spiritual power to raise this young man from the dead. And so we read in verse 10, "And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, 'Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him.'" Now, not every preacher is given this sort of spiritual power. Only a few were given that power in Bible times. The prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, of course. And the apostle Peter and the apostle Paul, as far as we know. And the display of their power, their spiritual power, was meant in order to prove the verity of the Word of God, which they spoke, that it was indeed the true gospel word, that it was the word of God, and to the word of God that can bring spiritually dead people back to spiritual life. In other words, with the Apostle Paul raising this dead Eutychus back to life, he, as it were, said to his listeners there, "You are to believe the word of God. You are to trust it. You are to rely upon it, because it is the word of life." This is what he said to his listeners, as it were. Because, as he may have continued on, because the God who raised this young man Eutychus from the dead is the God who has brought you this word of God, who can bring you to spiritual life. A congregation, we cannot expect in this day and age any preacher to have the power to raise someone from the dead or even to heal someone from a sickness. God allowed such miracles to be performed during the time of the Bible, when the Word of God was brought first to the people, when the Word of God was being established upon this earth. By way of such miracles, God declared then that He is the all-powerful one, that He is the one to hear, that He is the one to listen to, and that He is the one to be obeyed and to be believed. Today, as I said already, regular preachers are not given this sort of power anymore, although at times we have heard that in the mission field some unusual things have happened. But again, that belongs to God and to Him alone. But what is important for us today is that we still have the Word of God. And if this Word of God is listened to with reverence and with prayer and with longing and listened to critically, then you will receive that comfort which the Word of God promises to give to you. The comfort particularly of being forgiven of your sin. The promise of eternal life if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this takes me to ask for a moment, What did Paul speak about during this day-long and night-long service? We are not told specifically. But we are told that he preached, that is, he heralded, and that's what it means, he heralded the good news. In other words, we may be sure that the Apostle Paul preached Christ. No doubt, he preached Christ, who was given by the Father to this world, because, so we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul preached Christ, you see, no doubt about it. Christ, who gave Himself and who sacrificed Himself for sinners upon the altar of the cross. And He did so by the love of the Father. And He did so for the love of His people. The Apostle Paul preached Christ, you see, who not only gave His life unto death, but also took up that life again and was risen from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in order to rule and to guard and to guide His beloved people with His Word and with His Holy Spirit, even as He does so today. The Apostle Paul, no doubt, preached Christ. Why? So that sinners would be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that they would be drawn by the cords of a man and by cords of love. So that we'd be drawn by the preaching of the Word and drawn by God the Holy Spirit Himself. And therefore, as you sit under the preaching of the Word even this hour, I beg of you, I plead with you that you would earnestly believe this Word which comes to you this hour by way of the Gospel. Hear and believe the Christ of the Gospel, even as He is proclaimed. Let nothing and let no one distract you from hearing His Word and hearing about Him, because it is through Him and because of Him, that is Jesus Christ, that church services are worth attending, boys and girls, young people. Ah, it might be appealing to go to the beach when it's warm, but it is to your profit to be here and to hear the Word of God, because it is the Word of life, the Word of everlasting life. And if He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached, it will benefit you. It will benefit you if you receive it with a humble heart and with a prayerful spirit. And if there is to be any unsettling thing happening during this church service, even now, let it be and that some of you have become unsettled because of your sin. And if that is the case, my dear unsettled friend, I beg of you that you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ even this hour yet, that you would lay open your sins before Him and that you would repent of them, that you would seek forgiveness with Him, He who is preached to you. You will find the Lord Jesus Christ amazingly gracious and merciful. And as we leave this church service at Troas, let us rejoice that the God of the Apostle Paul, the preacher, is still the same one even today. God doesn't change. He does not change. The church services may presently be shorter. The preachers are different. They are no longer like the Apostle Paul. God doesn't change. But by the church services even of today, even like the one that we have here this afternoon, God is still pleased to perform the miracle of bestowing spiritual life to you who are present, who listen, and who have believed. And in closing, allow me just one small peek at another church service that occurred some 30 years before this one at Troas. This time the preacher is not the Apostle Paul, but one who is far greater than any Apostle Paul, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen for a moment to what he has to say. and take it home with you. Believe it and work with it in your prayers. When he is heard to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive, and to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And as Jesus Christ says this also to us today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears. And dear people, this is what church services are all about. Amen. Return all to your homes and receive the blessings of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all. Amen.